Good morning. Sorry to break up the loving on each other. We have some family members gone today, the Vargases and the Perezes, and they are at basically a commissioning their parents as missionaries. So that's a pretty big deal, and I know they're excited about that. So they're there encouraging and just to witness that great event. In Psalm 61, David is crying out to the Lord, as he often does. And he says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer." Anyone ever said that? "From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." We used to sing a song. "My heart is over. Lead me to the rock." Yes. "From the end of the earth, I will cry to you." That sounds pretty desperate, doesn't it? "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings." So do you think he was talking about the temple that was on the earth? No, forever. He was talking about his heavenly place. He was talking about where God dwells. And David was realizing that that was his place as well, and that he would dwell with him. He was quite a New Testament believer, David. Even though he didn't quite end up in the time in the New Testament, he had that same kind of understanding. "For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve me. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." So we get an opportunity to sing some praise and worship God. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are the rock that is higher than us. Lord, that when our hearts are overwhelmed, Lord, when things don't look like they should, when the appearance of our life and the situations of our life look like, Lord, we're being swallowed up, you are the rock that we can run to. You are our strong tower. You are our shelter and our fortress. So, Lord, today we want to exalt your name. Lord, today we want to remember there's joy in your presence. Lord, there's fullness of joy in your presence. Lord, we want to remember, God, that in your presence, Lord, you abide, let your peace abide in us, Lord. In your presence, Lord, you let your love and your grace and your mercy abide in us, Lord. So today, Lord, we acknowledge we're in your presence. Lord, even though we may be in a building on 34th Avenue in Yakima, Lord, we know that in true reality, Lord, we're in your presence, God. We're before Mount Zion, Lord. We're gathered, Lord, with the assemblies, Lord, all around. This is not a small gathering at all, Lord. We are gathering, Lord, with your hosts from heaven, God. And so we want to enjoy your presence as they're enjoying your presence. And so, Lord, we thank you, God, that you are always with us, Lord, and that when we turn our affections to you, Lord, we remember that we're with you. And we just now worship you in spirit and in truth from our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You can... Lord, and I pray today, God, that if there's, Lord, things in us, God, that is keeping us from seeking you wholeheartedly, seeking you, Lord, with everything that we are, Lord, that you would just remove those stumbling blocks, Lord, remove those hindrances, those walls, those barriers right now, in the mighty name of Jesus.
We just ask, Lord, that your angelic host, God, would come and clean house out of us, God. Just remove, Lord, any work of the enemy. Just do the battle for us, God, that we're able to move forward in you, Lord, and move into your mighty presence, Lord, where you desire us to remain, to see your face. Lord, we desire to see your face. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Open the eyes of our imaginations, Lord. Open the eyes of our consciousness, God. Open the eyes of everything, Lord, that we are, Lord, that when we think of something, God, we get a picture, Lord. Let that happen in us spiritually, Lord. Let us see you. Let us see you, Lord, for who you are, so that we could be who we are called to be. Because in your presence, Lord, is joy, but it's also transformation. And Lord, we desire full transformation. Lord, we don't want to go part way, Lord. We want to go all the way to be like you. As you are, Lord, so are we, Lord. But we want that manifested in our lives. We want that manifested in our bodies, Lord. We want that manifested in our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, Lord. The full work of the cross completed in us. And reality of that life, Lord, is what we live. We ask for that, Lord. Come to you today, Lord, with hungry hearts, with desire for more. That's why we're here, Lord. We desire more of you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, for anyone, Lord, that's just hurting and having a difficult time, I pray that you would just comfort them, Holy Spirit. That you would just raise them up, Lord, and let them find, Lord, that shelter in the shadow of your wings, that high tower that you are, that they can run into and find that place of rest. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just enjoy your presence right now, God. Just enjoy your presence right now.
Does anyone have anything on their heart this morning? They want to share something the Lord's putting on your heart for us.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. All right. Yes, I'm supposed to announce this Thursday at 6:30 p.m. at 602 South 34th Avenue, which is our home, and it's just across the way there, and there are invitations here that you can invite your friends. There's going to be a light dinner, which is like bread and water, right? It's just really light. Not that light. Okay. I'm sure with you, I'll say, this is light. You know, it's gay cooking, so this is light, I'm going to say. Yes, this is light compared to what I would normally do, right? Let's move this down here. Hope that doesn't mess you up, Jess. I think St. Martin would be so happy right now. She says, bring it down. Well, I forgot to announce. It's pretty obvious, though. We didn't meet with MTI today. Anybody remember that? A couple did, maybe. They were... they were already pre-scheduled for the place that they rent every week. And so they were kind of in a stuck place. So, hi. And let's do this. Turn it on. So today we're going to have a quiz. I'm going to start with a quiz. That's an acronym. I want people to guess what the acronym is. You can see what it says, but guess what the acronym words are. Any guesses? Yeah, David, you know because it's right in front of you. We'll save you for last if nobody else. No, can anybody think of what an acronym may be? What? That's pretty good. That's not quite it.
Lisa just said it.
What? Ask, seek, and knock. So, very good. Ask, seek, and knock. So, that came to my heart, ask, seek, and knock. And I thought, oh, okay, I know that scripture. So, I started pondering it. I said, well, okay, let's see. It's really easy to remember something if there's an acronym. Does it make an acronym? And I went, ask. Duh. You guys think that's any coincidence that asking, seeking, and knocking makes the acronym ask? Hello. So let's see what we can discover through this acronym and these three words. Hang on a second here. Let me get to my deal. Now, if I switch and it doesn't switch behind me, somebody let me know. That way I don't have to keep turning around. I'm by faith believing that it says Matthew 7:7, right? New King James, Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you, sinful people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? That went from New King James to New Living Translation, and I realized that, but it was too late. I was looking at some different verses. So, if we go back up to 7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be open to you. Now, this in Matthew 7 is a partial part of the Sermon on the Mount or the Beatitudes. And it is towards the end of that. And so he's communicating just a principle. But later on in Luke 11:19, when he's talking about prayer, he specifically adds this into the portion. He's like preaching. He can use his same sermons, you know. It's okay. He doesn't have to have original material every time because it's his material. But anyway, it's in a different spot, and he's talking about prayer. The person who's going next door to the person, and they're asking at midnight for some bread because their friends came and they need some food for them. They need to feed them. And the people are going, go away. We're sleeping. You know, just get out of here. I don't got anything. And he just kept knocking and knocking and knocking. It says for his importunity. In other words, he didn't care that he was waking them up. He didn't care that he was putting them out. He was going to get his bread for his traveling friends. And the guy gets up finally, gives him the bread, says, just go away, you know. And obviously, I don't have a neighbor like that. I'm very thankful. Does anybody else have anybody come at knocking at 11 or midnight? We have a son that does that. It raids the fridge or something like that, yeah. But ask and it will be given to you. So along with that illustration, he then goes into this. It's a little bit different, but if you want to look at it, it's in Luke 11, I think it starts at verse 9. The previous verses are where he talks about prayer. Also talks about our Father who is art in heaven. Because the disciples are saying, Lord, how do we pray? You pray a lot. How do we pray? So I think this is interesting. A lot of people are of the mindset that these are separate items that really have no connection with each other other than they all have to do with God. And as I've been pondering and thinking about this, and I think, again, the way the name goes together, it just automatically tells me that this is not you're asking at one time and then maybe another time you're seeking and another time you're knocking, that this is the full process of prayer. That prayer is not just asking. Prayer is not just seeking or just knocking. Prayer is all three of these. And so let's kind of try to break this down and maybe get a better picture of what I'm trying to say. Do you have anything to say?
Not yet.
Nothing. Okay. So ask. Oh, ask. Ask. What does that mean usually when you ask? You have to open your mouth. You have to say something. Now, sometimes if we ask people, we can write it down and we can send them, you know, an email or we can send them a text and ask them a question. In our heart, we could just ask the Lord for something. I have to tell you, I haven't given the full disclosure on this yet, but what happened was is the roof has been leaking for, what, over 2 years now? And it's been, last year it was horrible. I mean, literally, like, they were putting out buckets during services. Jesse was wondering, do I have to shut down the soundboard and cover it a couple times? Fortunately, that never did happen. But this was like around in June. And in my heart, I just started saying, Lord, you know, you got to do something with this roof. It was in my heart. I didn't really say it out loud. And I just kind of went before his throne. I said, Lord, can you do something about this? You know, I mean, we don't have the finances. It looks impossible, you know, so I'm just giving this to you. I'm putting it in your hands. You know our need before I even ask. And so I just left it at that. So 2 weeks later, I'm out about 9 a.m. putting out some water because we have hoses and stuff. And I start the water and, you know, everything's fine. It's a beautiful day, gorgeous day. I mean, no clouds in sight, no wind to speak of. And so I go back 2 hours later because there's we have automatic little hand timers, which are awesome. And we go on a 2-hour cycle. I was come back at 11. And so I walk around the corner. And all of a sudden, I see where the sprinkler's off now, all of these shingles. And I'm going like, what in the world? Looking up at the roof, it's missing pieces. And I look around. So I know that we have a tree. And usually when we get strong winds, there's branches all over the ground. I look over at the tree, no branches. What in the world? I looked around to see if anything else was blown over. Nothing else was blown over. But it had started at one point, did some damage, then worked its way across the roof and lifted up shingles. And so I'm just like going, okay. So I said, let's go ahead and call Grace International, tell them what happened. They said, okay, you got to get hold of the adjuster. Got hold of the adjuster. So this whole half of the building was paid for by insurance. And so, you know, they said, well, you know, it'll pay for this. And we have a whole other half that's over 30 years old. I'm going like, okay, so maybe we need to try to have this other side done. Now, we pay Grace International a installment on a loan that we've had from when we became senior pastors. It was for some building stuff that they did, and that's the way that Grace does it. They let you pay them back for a loan at no interest. And we'd already paid down, I think, almost $15,000 or something like that. So I just said, you know, I think we're going to need to do both sides because if we just do one, it could potentially cause the other. They agreed, so the whole thing got done. They didn't change our loan payment at all, and we got a brand new roof. Plus, the steeple got removed because that was a major area of a leak, and it got all re-roofed. I say all that to say this. That was just in my heart. I asked. I mean, I didn't get us all together. We need to pray. You know, I just, it was kind of like just, in a way, like a, what they call them, popcorn prayers or something like that. But it was sincere. You know, it was from my heart. And he heard. So I asked, even though I didn't say anything, but I went to him. I petitioned him. I drew on him. I sought him. But after that, you know, I never thought about it again. So I didn't really seek. I didn't really knock on that particular one. He kind of took care of the rest of it. Do you have anything on asking? Okay, nothing. All right, so what does this word ask mean? It's a verb. That means there's action involved with it. It's going to be used to describe something that is the action of the noun, or is that how you put it? Yeah, I'm not an English major, but it's the action of the sentence, the verb is. Yes. And so the word is eteo, and it means to ask, beg, call for, crave, desire, or require. So any of those things you could kind of put into that, you know, beg and it shall be given to you. Call for, crave, desire, any of those type of callings are applicable to our heart calling out for God for something. Looking at another verse, it says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. That's John 16:24. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Now, it's interesting. Jesus was just getting ready to go to the cross. And he's telling them, guys, you haven't asked anything in my name. You haven't had to. I've been here. You've been operating and working out of the power that I have. But he says, ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. It's interesting that asking and receiving is associated with our joy being full. Now, I don't think it's just like, oh, joy, I got what I want. I think it's part of who we are to receive from God. I think it brings us lack and it brings us unfulfillment when we don't receive from God. And receiving from God, yes, he can just pour out blessings on us. He can just all of a sudden just dump it on you. Anybody just had God just dump it on you when you weren't thinking about it? I mean, he can do that. But most of the time, we have to proceed forward. We have to run, you know. We have to taste and see. Kind of goes together, doesn't it? You know, we have to be functioning as we've been designed to function. Not just dysfunctional, thinking, oh, well, I'm just going to go haphazardly through my life and hopefully God will do something. It takes a pursuant heart. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Here's another one. James 4:2-3. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. I'm not talking this about you guys, so this is not specifically directed towards you. This is James 4:2-3. He was addressing some people. But the principle right here, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You do not have because you do not ask. I was working for a company, and it was early morning. I was in the shower. I always get things in the shower. And I had been working for this company for a long time, and we had started kind of like a new division. And when I say we, it's kind of between a sales rep for this company that I was helping to represent. We were going from a certain type of company with like this department to like a whole nother type of department. And I was putting lots of hours in, traveling, doing all kinds of stuff. And I just felt in my heart, you know, well, maybe I should try to see if I can become part of this. Because, you know, this is something that I'm building for this individual. And so the scripture came to me, you have not because you ask not. So that morning I went in and I talked to the owner of the company and communicated my ideas. And he received them. It worked out. So I did not have because I did not ask. Once I asked, I had. Now, does that mean that anything we ask, we're going to have? What do you think, Daniel? Anything we ask? He's a good father, but he's not going to give us, like, you know, if we ask for, you know, something that's going to hurt us. Like, can I have, you know, can you imagine your little kid? Can I have your gun, Daddy? You know, well, no. You don't love me? No, I'm not giving it to you because I love you. right? So sometimes we ask, and it says here, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. In other words, you're asking for something that's not going to benefit you. You're asking for something that's not going to help you at all. Matter of fact, you're asking for something that may even hurt you. How many have prayed, Lord, I want to win the lottery? Nobody's prayed that? Oh, Tim and Jesse have both prayed that. I want to win. Have you won yet? Probably not, because if you won, you may get all messed up, right? Have you guys ever heard the story of people who won the lottery? Their lives just, most of them become shipwrecked because all of a sudden they have all this money. They didn't earn it. And so all these people come out that they've never met that are now their closest relatives, you know. It's like, and they want a part of it. And so they actually go from, you know, having a good job sometimes to being destitute in a few years. That you may spend it on your own pleasures. That's pretty clear, isn't it? That you may receive something just for your own benefit. Now, there's nothing wrong for receiving something that God intends for you, for to bless you. And it may be beneficial. But if your whole goal is to receive something just to bless you, just so that you can be, you know, happy and know, you know, you can be keeping up with the Joneses, James is saying, that's not a good thing. And you may be asking for a long time and not receive. Why? Because you're asking amiss. Anything? Oh my goodness. It's the Mike Lindell show. Here we go. Okay. Oh, she's got some stuff. She's just saving it. She always comes in just like at the very end. She swoops in and just cleans up my whole mess, and I just love it. It's the truth. I know the truth. Okay, anyway. Hey, we're having fun, okay? At least I am. Okay, so seek. Is that a good seek symbol? I thought that was good. You know, seeking means that you need to pay attention. You're going to need to focus on something. Now, when we think seek, we think of like hide and seek, right? Everybody ever play that? I mean, I remember when I was a kid, you know, I was big, so, you know, it was kind of hard, especially playing with the little kids. I would try to hide and seek, and, you know, it's, you know, with little babies, it's easy. All you have to do is close your eyes, and they think that they're hiding as well. It's really funny. It's like, oh, you know, and hello. Okay, anyway, seek. So this seeking is something that is a searching out. It's kind of like a getting to the bottom of something. So if you're starting to ask the Lord, let's just say, okay, Lord, I want more of you. It's a petition. A lot of people have it. Anybody ever said that? Lord, I want more of you. So we start with that. Lord, I want more of you. So how do I go from asking then into the seeking mode? Well, maybe I need to start asking myself, what does it mean to have more of God? Start picturing what it means to have more of God. Well, to have more of God would mean my character might change. To have more of God might mean that I have a greater peace in my life. Or I might have a greater ability to overcome, temptations. So I'm starting to seek now. Because what I'm doing is I'm processing the thought of having more of God. Now, what must I do to have more of God? What do I need to do to have more of God? Maybe I need to read my word more. Because, you know, in the word, he can reveal truths to me. Maybe I need to pray more to have more of God. Now, let me just tell you, you have all of God you'll ever need. Because I don't want us to get back to that. Oh, to have more of God, I got to go do those things. But those things help bring out what's already there. See, it's not that we're trying to find something that we don't have. We're trying to release something that's already in us. Because as he is, so are we right now. As he is right now, so are we. Now, if that's the case, what's missing in that? Just the revelation of that fullness that we have of Christ. Okay, I've got a little sidetracked there, but this word seek, it's a verb, another verb. So we have another verb. To seek in order to find. Well, that kind of makes sense. To seek a thing. And this is kind of what I really want to focus on. To seek in order to find out by thinking, meditating, reasoning, to inquire into.
to seek after, to seek for, to aim at, to strive after. It is a process. Seeking is. See, it's not just, I'm just going to ask like I did with the roof. Now, that's an anomaly. It's kind of like one of those things, I'm just taking care of this, son. You know, you asked. I didn't like ponder it. But most of the time, prayer is asking. And then you've got to seek. You've got to start saying, Lord, okay, I want my body healed. Well, you may need to say, Lord, I need a healing here. Well, maybe you have problems with that in your faith because you've seen other people pray for healing. They've never received it. So part of your seeking is going to go start looking up scriptures on the Lord healing people or the Lord's desire to heal people. Maybe you're going to read a book on healing. These are all part of the seeking process. But, you know, it does take some kind of initiation. It does take a... What do you have something there?
No, Lisa does. I can tell.
You can tell. You know that look. Okay. Well, hold. Oh, she's going to give it now?
No, it's just a simple little thing. When I had cancer.
Well, you need to come give a mic here because people are going to say, what were they saying? And I'm going to like try to repeat.
When I had cancer, I got really, really sick, and it was something that I couldn't do much about. They were like, well, that's happening. Good luck with that. And so I had a break, without saying too much, I had a break between one kind of chemo and another. And I was crying out to God because this byproduct of chemo was very, very painful. And I mean, I would cry and howl. And I was crying out to God, help me, you know, I mean, seriously. And so I had my break between, about a 3-week break between one course of chemo and another. And while I had that break, two of my teeth went bad. And I'll just be honest, I was mad at God. I was like, really? Cancer isn't enough? Really? Teeth now? But because of that, they had to give me some antibiotics, and it healed the thing that was so painful that was wrong. And I was like, oh. So sometimes God just answers things in a way that surprises you. You can't figure it out.
Right.
And I was angry. I mean, I was like, really? You're really going to do this? And I didn't even realize that he was blessing me and that he was healing me. So the way he heals us sometimes you can't call it. You don't know how it'll be. You know? Yeah.
Trust is the key in all of that, isn't it, Lisa? So to seek a thing, to seek in order to find out something by thinking, meditating, reasoning, to inquire into. In other words, seeking involves the heart. Seeking involves the emotions and thought process, our consciousness, our mind, will, and emotions. That's really where the seeking comes in. You know, it's easy to just want to bypass some of this because years ago there was like name it and claim it, you know, and you just say, I'm going to get this and just believe you got it. You know, I'm believing that I've received it. Now I have it. And there's nothing wrong with that, but that could have been the praying amiss as well. I know there's people that receive things, so they were believing for, and I believe God was just honoring their faith. But then others later on would say, well, that worked for them. That's going to work for me. And it just became like copycat. It really needs to be your desire in you, and that involves your heart. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got a desire for something, you know God's put it there, and you're asking for that desire, I think a natural seeking is going to follow. But sometimes it takes time to incubate these desires. They don't just happen overnight.
Right.
Amen to that?
Amen.
Here's another one on seeking. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. The more I seek you, the more I find you. I mean, if we're wanting more of God, if that's our desire, if that's what we're praying, then the answer is spending more time with him. The answer is yielding to him, submitting to him, seeking him, which is a meditating, reasoning. It's a process. I know some people think seeking is just coming to church on Sunday. Well, that is a part of seeking. But true life seeking is an everyday going. It's a full-time deal. It's not part-time. Seeking God is a full-time activity. How about this? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And what was he talking about? Well, he's talking about food, clothing, being taken care of, a roof over your head, all those things that we so easily desire, you know, because I don't think anybody wants to sleep, you know, in some kind of tent shelter. I mean, that's not anybody's true desire. Maybe some people enjoy it, but I don't think that's what most people are thinking. Yeah, you guys are kind of over by it, aren't you? So you see it. There are people that don't want to have any strings attached to them. They want to be off the grid of the government, and they're doing that. But most people would like a roof over their head. Well, even those folks, they want a roof over their head. They want a tent. It gets cold enough. They want a shelter to sleep in. Right? Okay. So let's go on to knocking. Now, knocking is kind of interesting because knocking is where I believe the importunity comes in, which means you have to get to a place where you now know that this is the desire that God put in you. You've now put the word in your heart to a place that you know that it is not just possible, but it's God's will for this to take place. Now the knocking starts taking place. And guess what? This word, knocking, is an intense word. It's a verb, another verb, and it means to knock at the door. I knock. How about this? Beat a door with a stick to gain admittance. So it really is an intense knocking. Yeah, it hurts. Anyway, it's the pounding on the door, just like that guy who had to wake up his neighbor because his friend came on a long trip and needed some food, and he didn't have any food in his house. It's a pounding until you get an answer. It's a pounding saying, God, you promised this. You put this promise in my heart. I've got this in my heart now. I've shown through study and spending time with you into my heart and taught my heart that this is your will. Now I want to receive it. And sometimes the knocking goes on because the door doesn't get opened. It's like the unjust judge and the widow who wants her land back or whatever the case is. And she just keeps going back to this unjust judge over and over and over again. And it wasn't because of the case. It wasn't because this judge was kind and wanted to help this widow out because she had been, you know, dealt with treacherously. No, it was because she would not leave him alone. And that's the way Jesus described how we should pray. I think we give up too soon. I think we just settle for what we're used to so easily because it's the path of least resistance. It really is. Asking, seeking, and knocking is not easy because we're going after something, number one, we don't see. It's not like, you know, it's easy when, you know, you get a carrot hung out in front of you. It's a real carrot. And you say, well, if I just do this, I can get that carrot, say a bonus or whatever. That's tangible. But praying to God seems intangible. But I'm telling you, it's more real than the carrot. We just have our eyes fixed on the natural carrot instead of the unseen, unlimited realms of God.
So you know the jingle that is for Toyota? It says, let me see, how's it go? You asked for it, you got it, Toyota.
Something
you know
like
that little
yeah,
jingle?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Does God ever give it to us if it's not good for us or if it's not his will?
Does he ever give it to us? Well, I would say that the answer to that could possibly be yes. Because I think the persistent heart of faith can get God to do something that was not his intention. Case in point, there's a woman, she's a Syrophoenician, and she comes to Jesus and she says, "There's a demon in my daughter. Can you heal her?" And he goes, "Woman, you know, you're not of Israel. I can't do this for you. I mean, I'm here for the children of Israel, you know. It's not good for me to give something to the dogs." I mean, he called her a dog. And she goes, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that the children spill off the table." Oh, my goodness, woman of faith, yes, she's healed. That wasn't his intention, but she got his heart. So, you know, I think you could probably pray enough. And for all we know, those people who named it and claimed it and got those things, they just moved heaven. Now, was it good for them? I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. I think it's better to get the desire in your heart that you know is from delighting yourself in the Lord. Now, I haven't gotten into that, but delighting yourself in the Lord is finding your fulfillment in him. In him first. You find your fulfillment in your relationship with him. And then you align with his will. Because you're not wanting to deviate from his will or his desires, because you're finding your fulfillment from being in him, from having relationship. And so your will aligns with his will. Then at that point, you start praying. And you're praying his will. You're asking what he desires for you. Does that make sense? Okay, good. So beat on a door with a stick.
So what I hear you saying is that we are not to really use this concept, this prayer concept, just what I'm going to call it, like a vending machine. I put my prayer in, I get my answer out. I put my prayer in, I get my, you know what I'm saying? That's what you're saying is that it's not a genie in the bottle, do it just so that it'll happen.
No.
This is all relational.
Right. And this is why people give up. Because it's not easy.
It isn't easy.
It's not easy. Here we go. Yes, please.
it's just love. The scripture at the end that you gave, that he said the unjust judge... He doesn't care but they're persistent. So he didn't love that person. He doesn't care about that person. He wasn't in a relationship with the person. He wasn't a son or a daughter to that person. There was nothing to that person.
Right.
But they were so in the world, so persistent, like the car salesman. He's not going to give up till he gets the answer. He said, yeah, he got an answer. But he said at the end of the scripture, this guy is like this and I cared nothing about this, but you are my son and my daughter and I love you.
Good point.
And how much more just be assured that I love you. And that'll keep you from burning out. Because if you feel like you're waiting for something forever and ever and ever and ever, and do you care? Do you love? Do you not see me? You know, I'm here. No, you have to, and that's that part where you get your fulfillment. You know and you know her in the knower of your heart that you're loved. You're loved whether it comes today or comes tomorrow, comes next week, comes in a year from now. You are loved, and then somehow out of his goodness and his love for us as a father, he's going to meet us where we're at, and he's going to bring joy to our heart when he fulfills us in our life. So that keeps you from burning out.
Right.
Because you might have
people do burn out
a long time, but
don't
when you know you're loved, you'll keep going because he's not just putting you through a test.
Yeah.
Or a process. He just loves you. And in his timing, he'll make it right.
Right. No, that's good. And it goes on to say after that, it says, but when the Lord returns, will he find faith on the earth? And he's saying, you know, faith, I don't believe just faith in the prayers. I think faith in the relationship that you have with him. Confidence that we are sons and daughters. That's very good. And I'm glad you come up and put that on there, because trying to repeat that would be almost impossible. Thank you, Daniel. Oh yeah, Revelation 3:20 says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." This is the Lord now. "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." This is showing you that it can be a two-way street even, that the Lord can be knocking on our door. He can be trying to get our attention. And when he does come in, he has fellowship with us. That meal is saying, I have fellowship with you. Mm-hmm. We engage in relationship. That is really the Lord's true desire. It's not that, I mean, yes, the Lord wants our prayers answered, but I think that's great what you're saying, Daniel, because it's really about relationship. It's really about, It's really about having a common union with him, having a heart that's linked with him and connected with him. Okay, so I want to bring this out because I think this is important, because most of our translations don't do a good job of really explaining these words of how they were being used. And so I'm going to do a little bit of an English training. I'm not that good at this, but I know enough to be dangerous. And if if I'm dangerous and I don't get it right, anybody who knows English really well, just forgive me. But these three words, ask, seek, and knock, are of this type of verb, I guess, descriptions being used in the sentences this way. And they really make a difference. And I will show you here at a translation called the Jonathan Mitchell translation, which is really translating how those verbs should be translated there. I think the King James actually uses the word asketh, E-T-H. And that's because it's trying to put those verb tenses on it. We just say ask. Because to me, when I hear the word ask, I ask one time, I go away. And, okay, I asked, right? Mm-hmm. You know, can I get, you know, $5, Dad? No. Okay, and then go away, you know. Can I get $5, Dad? No, you know. Hey, Dad, I'm going to go to the movies. Can I get $5? Now you're starting to work it. Do you see what I mean? I'm asking. I'm not just asking one, ask one time. Present tense. The present tense usually denotes continuous kind of action. So this is a repeated type of deal. This is not just asking one time and then I'm going to, you know, receive. But I want to say this. I don't think this is asking over and over and over again for the same thing. I think that's where you're going into seeking. I think this is saying that I want you to have a heart of continually asking me, continually coming before me with your needs. You know, there's an amazing scripture that says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Make your askings known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind. He doesn't want us to be worried. He doesn't want us to be fretting. He wants us to be asking and bringing our petitions with thanksgiving.
And I think that peace comes when the answer is no. Do you know what I mean? Because, well, no or yes or anything. I think that peace is what makes us satisfied with what the answer is.
That's a good point. It's in the imperative, which is a command or instruction given to the hearer, charging the hearer to carry out or perform a certain action. So this wasn't like just ask. This was like Jesus saying, I want you to ask a lot. He's saying it with kind of authority. He's emphasizing those three words, ask, seek, find. He's not just saying ask, seek, find. Do you understand? It's giving it what?
Ask, seek, knock.
Ask, seek, knock. Oh, thank you. Ask, seek, knock. Yeah. Ask, seek, find doesn't spell ask. So thank you for reminding me. And it is in the active voice. That means it's a now word. So it wasn't just for the disciples back then. It's for the hearers of the word in the now, in the active voice. And it's second person. It was directed to the people that were speaking, that he was speaking to or speaking about. All right. Let's go to look at another thing. Now, this is a little Bible training here. This is from what's called the Discovery Bible. If you can't read it, I'll read it for you. You might be able to read some of it. But the Discovery Bible is a Bible that has been out for a while. They actually have an online version a computer version that you can get now. It's quite expensive. But this is a Bible that was given to me years ago. And what it does is it brings out the emphasis that I was just communicating in a form that you can go, oh, that's using that commanding repetitive tense. So as you see, the word ask has a little tiny, like a tilde by it with an exclamation point. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek with a tilde and exclamation point. And you shall find. Knock with a tilde and exclamation point, and it shall be open to you. If you see that word ask, you can see that little tilde and the exclamation point right there. Okay. So it means a commitment to a long-term way of doing something. So it's a commitment. So when we are asking of the Lord, we're making commitment that we're going to continue to pursue and ask. It's a command to keep on doing an action as one's general habit of lifestyle. Or lifestyle. In other words, we should be people that are constantly asking God. Asking for his presence,
asking for his love to manifest in our life, asking for our family members to receive his love, asking for more of him, repeating each time this situation arises. So this is a not for just a one-time deal. This applies to every time you go to asking the Lord, every time you go to seeking the Lord, every time you go to knocking. It's with a repetition heart. Does that make sense? So let's take a look at this Jonathan Mitchell translation, and I think it might make it a little more clear. Be habitually requesting, or keep on asking, and it or he will proceed being given to or from. Now, he breaks it down in all the different ways. But look, it's be habitually requesting. Be habitually seeking. Be repeatedly keep on knocking. So it's a constant, repetitive, habitual effort that we have to apply. And, you know, this is, and I go back to this a lot, but this is one thing I learned about communion. Communion wasn't just for, you know, just one time for us to, you know, think about it and go home and then come back again when it's a communion Sunday. This is a heart that I take when I take communion. I'm coming before him. I'm asking for the revelation of common union. I'm asking for the truth of what it means to be in him and him in me. Those are all the things that communion talks about. And I come and I'm knocking and I'm pursuing and I'm asking for the full manifestation of what that work brings in my life. And I won't stop, because it's not just about me receiving some manifestation. It's also about me just drawing closer to him in relationship. And then in Matthew 7:8 would say it like this: you see everyone habitually requesting is repeatedly receiving. And he who keeps on seeking and searching is constantly finding. And to him, and for the person repeatedly knocking, it will be opened. Or repeatedly opened. See, I think this is telling us that if we seek him, we will find him. If we ask from him, we will receive. I think we have to get in our heart that he's not one to deny us something that he's put in our heart. And I like what Daniel said, is definitely keep love at the forefront. So, in conclusion, ask, seek, knock. Ask is the process. And don't just be hearers of the word only, be doers. So I would encourage you to apply this to your life. Whatever the blank would be that you would need to ask for, then go and search it out. Find out what God's intent is for you. You know, if it's a job, find out, you know, in the word that, you know, he takes care of us. He desires that we would prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. If you know those scriptures, you can apply those promises to that desire. And then just keep on knocking, knowing that he's a good, good father, knowing that he loves us. So ask, seek, and knock.
I just want to say that I think that terminology that's been thrown around this a lot lately about it's all about perspective. I think it really is all about perspective when we pray. I mean, if we're praying from a point of deep need, our perspective would totally change versus if we're just praying and we have everything's going A-okay with us. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've noticed a difference in the way that I worship, in the way that I'm even seeking the Lord. It's very different right now than it used to be, because perspective has been everything for me this past year. So I think really it's our perspective that needs to change sometimes when it comes to the asking, the seeking, and the knocking. Because I don't think that, like I said, I don't think that it's a vending machine or a genie in a bottle. I don't think that we should look at this particular area of scripture and not completely see that it's everything about relationship and everything about God's love. if our perspective is needing that, needing perspective, needing God's love, needing to go to him for answers, then it's way different than if we don't need.
Right.
And all of us need, or we should.
Yeah, I think a lot of us probably need, but we think we can handle our own need. You know, we tend to even women, this man up, so to speak. You know what I mean? In other words, I can do this, you know, and I don't need to bother the king. You know, he's got lots of other business to tend to. And we tend to think that our prayer would be almost in a way demeaning, you know, or because we can do it ourselves. Why do we need to ask God?
Right.
So, yeah, I would agree.
Sometimes, though, it gets to the point where we have no control.
Right.
And sometimes that's really a hard place to be because we like control. We like to know that we have, you know, a say in all of it. But when we don't, when it comes down to, and I keep thinking of Pastor Brenda, it came down to the point where she had no control and God had to be enough. And God doesn't want it to get to that point for anybody. But sometimes it does get to that point, and we have to just say, no matter what, God, I love you. If the answer is no, the answer is yes, whatever it is. And to seek him out because of relationship instead of seeking him out for answers.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing is that it talks about seeking first the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is his dominion, and it's where he resides, and I believe it means relationship with him. I think everything has to hinge on relationship. I think especially in these days, relationships come to a bigger, I guess, for lack of a better term, priority in God's heart. And he is desiring all of us to have intimate, close, personal, dynamic, interactive relationship with him instead of from afar. And, you know, I say that from my own journey that, you know, just knowing him and knowing about him and knowing his what he's accomplished and all of his deeds that I knew in the Old Testament, what he did in my life in the past, all of that was all good. But he said, well, what about now? Who am I to you now? You know, who do you say that I am, Mike? I mean, can you describe all those things about me? Sure, that's all true. Then, but who do you say that I am in your life now, Mike? And I had to come to the realization that I needed to rediscover a now relationship with God. And it's amazing, as I discovered a now relationship with God, in a way it changed the way that I had viewed him in the past. It kind of changed everything, because the things that I thought I knew about him, I realized I was seeing from a perspective that was not able to truly see him for who he was in my life at that time. And it's repeated now as he more unfolds his nature, character, and I believe ways to me. I continually go back and say, oh, you were doing that. Oh, and you can kind of realize that this whole journey has been his idea. He started the good work in us. I truly believe that. And he's the one that will finish it. You know, it's not some Bible school that will finish it. You know, it's not a Bible study group. It's not one other person. It's not even your husband or your wife. It's him right. That will finish it.
Right. I, right out of high school, after I graduated, got my diploma, I went into Bible school for a couple years. And there's a saying that was at this Bible college, because there was a lot of people, as you know, a lot of people went to it, and they kept saying there's no easier place to backslide than at a Bible college. And the reason for that is because you're so inundated with religion. Everybody's praying, everybody's reading the word, everybody's this, there's no easier place to be to backslide than a Bible college. Hold on. Now you guys hear my voice. There is no better, an easier place to be complacent than sitting your butt in a church.
Amen. Yeah.
Absolutely. Amen. And God is done with that. And I know that that's very right there out to you, but I'm sorry. That's He wants us to come to Him in spirit and in truth. And if we're coming here on every Sunday morning to make a checklist on what the good things to do, we need to knock it off. We need to start being so attuned and in love with God that's all that matters. Whether or not it's popular or not, and obviously it's not popular. God, forgive me for being complacent. God, forgive me for my apathy.
Amen.
Of thinking that sitting right here was protection enough. It is not. And God wants us to come to Him with all of our heart and just say to Him, whatever you have for my life will be good enough for me.
No, I agree. I mean, you know, sitting here on Sundays, for years and being a pastor and thinking that there's a greater level of spiritual maturity in me because I was a pastor, and how far from the truth that was.
I just want to jump in on what she's saying. It's been a while. If some of you guys are familiar with my testimony I gave, I asked for my family. I've asked for that reconnection and my life back. He gave that to me. Seeking in the middle, I had to continue to seek because it took time to get there. It took time in between. I just didn't ask once. It was something that I continually seeked. Even when it was in the process of happening, I had to continue to seek. I didn't lose focus on our relationship. I wasn't just focused on just the family part of getting my family back. I was focused on me and his relationship because I knew he was capable of doing that. And it's continuing to knock. Like he mentioned, I continue to knock. I continue to ask. And now it's like, am I going back? After he's blessed me and given me that back, because now I got it back. But now am I going to sit around and groan because I'm like, whoa, Lord, I think you've given me too much of a blessing, because lately I've been kind of feeling overwhelmed. It's like now I've got way too much hours at work. Now I've got my family back on my hands. I've got all this responsibility. But I'm like, hold on. I asked for this, and it's like something that me and him is going back with. I mean, he's that father figure, and it's a lot teaching, but I don't regret one bit of it. I'm loving every bit of it, you know. I get exhausted physically, like tired, but every day I take advantage of it because I know that there's something that can come out of it, and it has to do a lot with work, too. Because I hear a lot of people at work, too, just what Pastor Gay just said just now about checklists, coming to church. And I've been missing out a lot, and I've been wanting to come, but I'm always reminding myself, like, wait a minute. You know, just because I don't show up at church, it doesn't mean that that's when I get my God time in, our time in.
Amen.
I'm continued to seek that. Like, all day, I'm at work. I'm like, man, I miss my family. I miss my one-life family, all you guys. It's like, I miss all my familiar faces. You know, I wish I could hang out with the guys that I usually do outside of church that are usually here, and I haven't seen them for a while. And not once I don't forget that family life. Man, people can be busy. And I didn't have that for a while, but not for one second was I not considerate of their situation, understanding that family life can be hard. So now I'm experiencing it to the fullest. But I hear people at work say, you know, yeah, I need to go to church. Just this morning I had a coworker say, I need to go to church. You know, she said, when you play your Christian music, I love it. And she's like, she said, when I hear it, she said, I feel guilty. And I was like, it's that conviction. I was like, but it's not, it shouldn't be convicting you. It should be uplifting you. So I was like, but that's something that you know that you're dealing with. We're all dealing with something that's hard and heavy. But it's not all about church. It's not about church. I was like, so I said, that's maybe the first place you want to start is, I said, don't think that church is the only place. I said, it's not going to save you. You know, I said, there's more to it. So for me,
come on,
when I can come, I love it. Today, I was able to make it. My family's here. I got my son with me. I had to kind of drag him along, but he's back there shy with his head down. And, but, you know, this hit right on spot. Every time I come, I get fed. And, but it doesn't end there. It doesn't just, I don't just wait for these moments. I'm continuing to seek. I'm always knocking. I'm pounding all the time. Because with all this new, you know, it's great. I mean, that right there, it's ongoing. It never stops.
Never stops.
Thank you.
Habitual, repetitive, hopefully not mundane, but it is habitual and repetitive. And it's easy when we know we're loved, right,
right.
Daniel?
Praise
the Lord.
In the asking, seeking, and knocking, I think is where we find the relationship. It's mm-hmm. not in the result of the asking, seeking, and knocking.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah.
Did that make sense?
It's the process. It's not the finality.
The seeking and the knocking comes relationship. Not if it's at, if it's answered the way I want it to be. The answer shouldn't matter. This should matter. Daniel, did you have something else?
No, it's not easy.
It is not easy. Right.
This peace in your heart, this presence in your heart, that you're okay.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know that you love, that you don't understand it, but then you just say, I let go, I don't understand, and he just surrounds you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a weird thing the Lord does. Everybody, every one of his kids, he surrounds him with his love, with his peace. So you can have everything blown up around you, and then in his own right time, he sets up, but it's not easy. The circumstance isn't easy if you just look at it with your eyes.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time that we've had together. And Lord, we just ask, God, that you would allow your word that was spoken today, Lord, that it would find a place, Lord, in our hearts, God, to grow, to be watered, Lord, to be fertilized and to produce fruit. And I just pray right now, God, that if any of us, Lord, have had a difficult time understanding or receiving this word today, that you, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, would teach and lead and guide anyone here today that needs a greater tutorial, God, in this process. And we just thank you, Lord, that you're working in our lives, that we can trust you, and just knowing that we're loved by you, Lord, can give us, Lord, a comfort, God, even though things look upside down at times. And I just bless everyone right now with the blessing of God. I bless them in their workplace. I bless them in their home. I bless them in their family life, Lord. I bless them in their recreational time. Lord, I just ask that anything they set their hand to do, God, would be blessed. Lord, anything that you give them in a dream, Lord, and a desire, God, that you would lay your hand of blessing upon it, Lord, and let it multiply and grow, Lord, and become what you've called it to be. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, have a wonderful day.
Ladies, don't forget about Thursday night at my house at 6:30. Dinner, dessert, fun, word.